98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf's Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. American built for American dreams.
Man, a lot happened over the weekend. Maloney boils it down to the essentials. We respond with our opinions to her stories and facts. You support us and agree or rip us and disagree at Doug and Wolf 98.7. Maloney, go.
So Kansas City and Tampa Bay will go head-to-head for the Vince Lombardi Trophy in 2 weeks as the Buccaneers defeated the Packers 31-26 in the NFC Championship game, while the Chiefs beat the Bills 38-24 in the AFC. Here's Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I mean, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl. Being able to go up against one of the greatest, if not the greatest, quarterback of all time in his 150th Super Bowl, I mean, it's going to be a great experience for me. I mean, to go out there and have a chance to repeat and get to do it against the best, I mean, it's something special, and I'm excited for the opportunity.
What do you think of the matchup, Brady versus Mahomes?
Man, I love it. I really do. And it's not just because of Brady v. Mahomes. It's because the old versus the new. You got Bruce Arians. I realize Andy Reid's been around forever, but you got Bruce Arians and that offense, the bash and bomb, the old style of playing football in the National Football League, and that new offense, of course, with the Kansas City Chiefs, where you have all this eye candy. All of these unusual plays, or at least they look that way. And then, of course, they run base plays. But it's the old versus the new. And I think that's kind of cool.
There's no way around the Tom Brady portion of this story. But what I'm really jacked up about is not that they stopped the Packers, but Aaron Rodgers' quote-unquote worst games, 300 yards and three touchdowns, but quote-unquote worst games this year were against Todd Bowles. And how are you not fascinated by Todd Bowles' defense against Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes? What does Todd Bowles think he can do? That is the matchup, if you care about X's and O's, that I would say is one for the ages of a Super Bowl.
Kansas City got separation from Buffalo in the AFC Championship game thanks to big plays from Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Here's Pat Mahomes.
Those guys just know how to get themselves open. I mean, they're obviously super talented, but they understand our offense to a crazy degree. And so thought EB did and Coach Reed did a great job of designing plays for them to get them open, and they were able to get open in zone or man coverage, and I just got them the ball.
Tyreek Hill's a good football player. I can tell you that much. But what was your biggest takeaway from last night's AFC Championship game? Well, other see, than that you biggest, want Henry Ruggs.
I was going to say the biggest. I'm sorry, Mel. My biggest takeaway was Tyreek Hill. It was. We all know Patrick Mahomes is fantastic. He is a fantastic quarterback. We all know the Kansas City Chiefs are awesome. It was Tyreek Hill. He was the tip of the spear. Just watching him eat, it seemed unfair. When he'd get the ball, the Bills, they'd all freeze around him like Steve Nash. Steve Nash on penetration. Everyone would just freeze waiting for him to dump. Where's he going to dish, right? And it's the same thing watching Tyreek Hill, the way people that are good, talented, just lock down and freeze up around him. And he's part of the pressure. The Chiefs put so much pressure on you as a football team in all three phases to be exceptional, or you're going to lose.
For me, I'm kind of with Wolf. It was the combination of Hill and Travis Kelce. I think you need them both, but I understand what Hill does. But a very, very close second, and something I still don't understand, is why is Andy Reid the play caller and Doug Peterson gets a coaching job? Andy Reid's the play caller and Matt Nagy gets a coaching job. And Andy Reid's the play caller and Eric Bieniemy can't get a coaching job.
Unbelievable.
In the NFC Championship game, there was one play call that has everyone talking this morning. Here's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur discussing not going for it on 4th and 8 with 2:05 left, down by 8.
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having 3 shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2-point. So the way I was looking at it was, We essentially had four timeouts with the 2 minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop.
What were your thoughts? What was going through your mind when you saw the Packers kick that field goal instead of going for it?
I thought only Marty Morenweg's decision over 18 years ago to kick off when you've won the coin flip of an overtime was a worse decision in the history of coaching. And I'll double down by saying this. What really was the difference in this game, if you think about it from a coaching standpoint? End of the first half, Buccaneers go for it.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Buccaneers go for it, and they then, on the play right after, get a touchdown, and they win by 5 points. Packers, at the end of the second half, don't go for it. One team said, oh, my quarterback wants to go for it, let's go. The other team said, no, let's take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, and you lose the game.
Yeah, the Green Bay Packers, I thought, made a mistake when they got that first and goal at the 8-yard line and then proceeded to have three straight Aaron Rodgers passes on first and goal. And to me, that was a possession you had to have a touchdown. And to not run the ball, I thought that was a bigger mistake than the decision to kick the three.
After the Packers' loss in the NFC Championship, even Aaron Rodgers doesn't know what the future holds for him with Green Bay.
It's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most, getting this far. Obviously, there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not. But just the uncertainty is tough and the finality of it all.
And this morning, ESPN's Mike Tannenbaum was on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin to discuss.
I think it's a fascinating offseason. And to me, the obvious connection for Aaron Rodgers would be the 49ers. It's no secret when you talk to people around the league how disappointed they are in Jimmy Garoppolo. Can't stay healthy. Aaron Rodgers is from Northern California. He's a perfect fit for the Kyle Shanahan system. And to me, that would be the logical landing point.
So I'm going to ask... Just gonna ask you a two-parter here, okay? One, is Aaron Rodgers done in Green Bay? And two, how would you feel if Rodgers came to the NFC West? And you know what? I'll throw
in a third one.
Would you rather Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson as the 49ers quarterback next season?
What are you doing to me? Why kick me in the face when I'm already down?
Question number one. I do think he's going to end up staying in Green Bay. I think he's serious, though. I think here's your choices if you're the Packers. Handle it, use the Houston Texans playbook, or use the playbook of intelligent people that deserve football teams. That's your choices. You tell Aaron Rodgers today, there's no way we ever want you to leave. Let's talk about what you need. And have a conversation about it and let logic prevail over emotions. But do not dismiss Aaron Rodgers is angry and Aaron Rodgers right now doesn't want to stay. And you've got to go the steps to make sure he does later when logic rules. Question two, I would say that I would hate it if he's there in San Francisco. Question three, I would rather have it Rodgers over Deshaun Watson.
What was question three?
Do you want Watson or Rodgers as the 49ers quarterback? I'm going to say Rodgers because at least he's closer to retirement than Deshaun Watson, even though Rodgers is a better quarterback right now.
Okay, Basin O'Neill, together on the transistor and press here right here. Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. He's going to be playing football up in Green Bay till he's done. I believe that. Maybe he'll play 1 year somewhere else, right, just to – prove a point to somebody. I have no idea, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
Question two is, how would you feel if he's in San Francisco?
In San Francisco, that would suck buttermilk.
Question three is, who would you rather have there, Watson or Rodgers, if you had to pick?
Perish the thought, it's Deshaun Watson. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is at least how old? At some point in time, he's going to walk away from this thing. He is. Mm-hmm. Deshaun Watson is a long, long way
away. It feels
away
like he'll never
that.
Leave. He'll play two till he's 40.
Never.
Have to deal
don't
with that.
Let it be Deshaun Watson.
Coming up next, Super Bowl 55 is here. All 256 regular season games were played. And every single playoff game was played without a delay. How did we get here? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. 54 Super Bowls in the history of the NFL. Zero of them played in the home stadium of one of the two teams.
Mm.
And the first head coach in the world to host is Bruce Arians?
Yeah, that's the scary thing about coming to the Super Bowl at home. We've been playing so good on the road. And this was fun because we had loud fans. And man, this was real, like, this was football for the first time this year for me. I mean, the fans were great here, and what an unbelievable atmosphere. But to be able to come home to play Super Bowl at our place and not have to get on a plane and do all the things that this crazy year that has us doing, it would be weird. It would not even feel like the Super Bowl when we don't have all those damn press conferences.
It is. Jacksonville, Florida is the host of the Florida-Georgia game every year.
Yes.
Where the Jaguars play.
Right.
And it's got a slogan. It's got a title. It's the world's greatest or world's largest outdoor cocktail party, world's greatest cocktail party.
Yes.
It's always has a name around the cocktails. Is it time to say, no, wrong, right state, wrong location. You are not the home of the greatest cocktail party ever. It is Bruce Arians in a home game Super Bowl. Is the greatest cocktail party ever.
Honestly, right now, just the fact we've got this matchup, we all know the grateful nation that we are, that we have a Super Bowl, basically. And Super Bowl 55 is going to happen. The National Football League got through a season without any major delays or hiccups, for the most part. Man, it's, I know we're all grateful for that kind of normalcy, if you can actually say that it was normal. But right now, just the fact that we're at this point, I still can't believe it. I want to get that out of the way. I want to parachute in at 30,000 feet and just say, I can't even believe we're here. I can't even believe we got it.
Adam Silver is really, really good at his job. And David Stern saved the NBA. Pete Rozelle somehow convinced the New York Giants to share their money with the entire NFL to make it a better league. There's great stories about a lot of commissioners, but when you look at the last year of the job Roger Goodell has had, it's hard to say there's ever been a commissioner more right in 1 year to go from this draft that they had to going into the season, eliminating the games, working with the Players Association, getting owners to acquiesce on daily testing, which they didn't want to do. And maybe that's all the Players Union credit. But Roger Goodell, when you're in that seat, you get the credit even if you don't deserve some of it. And then to get through the season to make decisions on, hey, Fox, deal with it. You're not getting your Thursday night game this week.
Yeah.
Hey, ESPN, deal with it. Your Monday night game's getting moved over to this day, whatever it may be, and yet we're still here at a Super Bowl. And then even more amazing to me, I thought it was a foregone conclusion. Playoffs were either going to be a bubble, and definitely the Super Bowl was going to be in a bubble. And it's not. The Chiefs are leaving the day before the Super Bowl. They're doing all of their planning and in Kansas City like any other road game.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a road game. We're going to Tampa to play the Bucs.
Yes.
It's just a road game, and yet it's the Super Bowl because he's made the decision this is what's best.
And I say this a little tongue-in-cheek, but a close second to that, just the fact that we're here, I'm just stunned that Tampa Bay went up there and looked like the home team. Tampa Bay went up there and looked more comfortable playing in that kind of weather. And when I say weather, I'm talking chill, talking cold, than the Green Bay Packers. If you would have told me they were going to run the ball more than the Green Bay Packers, I would have said, you are absolutely nuts. And yet that's exactly what happened right now. I liked the game. It was a good game. I was looking for more drama. At the end of it, I was looking for more, a little bit more drama at the end of it. I was looking for a little bit more contestation on the offensive line and defensive lines. I was looking for a little bit more of that, a little bit more blood work, for lack of a better way of saying it. But to me, overall, I'm just so grateful that we're actually going to have a Super Bowl. And it was a good game. It wasn't a great game, and that's what's bumming me out.
With Tampa, do you even remember, he says they won three games on the road. Do you even remember who they played first?
No.
You'll remember as soon as you hear the question. To Frank Clark of the Chiefs.
A few weeks back, Chase Young say that he wants Tom Brady. He wants Tom. You have a message for the GOAT headed into the Super Bowl?
Nah, I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'll see his ass on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
Chase Young, remember, with Washington saying, I want Tom, getting ready to face Tom Brady. And then here is Frank Clark going, I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to make any statements like that. Yeah, no way.
The Washington football team. But it was interesting to watch this offense once again, the bash and bomb offense of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians run the ball into the pile. That basically is what they did 24 times, running the ball into the pile. And it wasn't like they were having great success, but it's such a big part of what they do. This is what they do. The touchdown to Cameron Brait was a thing of brilliance, was it not, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to line up, and here comes 22 double. Here it comes. Right here, we're going to fake the double, and all of a sudden Cameron Brait with a little release in the back of the end zone. Easy touchdown. Why was that so easy? You're talking about the Green Bay Packers, one of the best teams in the National Football League. Why did they allow that to happen? Because it looks so much like the real thing. See, that is the power of play action, especially play action under center. They can't see it, and the quarterback's got his back to the line of scrimmage. That's a powerful look, and it makes you freeze as a linebacker on that second level.
Remember the opening drive, the Buccaneers went down the field on all of their third down conversions. One of those plays was Godwin into motion, in which he ran into the pile like he's blocking for a run play. And everybody on the Bucs, on the Packers, here comes the run.
Here it comes.
And nobody's on Godwin, and there goes Godwin, quote-unquote, missing the block as part of the fake. And he's wide open because they all believed the Bucs were going to run the ball.
And this is something I'd love to see for the Arizona Cardinals, ladies and gentlemen. I'd love to see it. I would. But again, I'm talking about the expansion of the football universe, all of it. I don't want to see him just line up and that's the play that they run. I don't want to see him, hey, let's return to Bruce Arians. We got DeAndre Hopkins out here. We got Kyler Murray as our quarterback. We're going to run 22-23 double. That's what we're going to do. Then we're going to throw it down the field. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about try it all. Do it all. Why wouldn't you? Half the capability of doing it all. It makes so much sense to me. Expand everything that you can do. Well, that means you're going to have to move your quarterback around a lot under center. You're going to have to do it. Not just one game over another game, but as part of your offense overall. Yeah, you can emphasize it a little bit more or less, depending on who you're playing. But it's got to be something you do on a regular basis where a team's going to prepare for that. I just think it'd be an excellent addition to what Cliff Kingsbury and the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray, what they're capable of doing. What's wrong with lining up under center and running 22 or 23 double?
You know, speaking of which,
or the tackle zone.
As you're talking about Bruce
or
Arians,
boots and waggles off it.
It does bring up a question that I don't know if Steve Keim or Michael Bidwell ever want to answer. But you really only have three options when you look at Super Bowl 55. And option A is an easy one. Tom Brady's that good. Okay, mm-hmm. Tom Brady. But option B and C, either Bruce Arians kind of learned from his mistakes in Arizona and changed a little bit, or the Cardinals really screwed up in kind of being so willing to move on from Bruce Arians. I mean, Bruce Arians is in a Super Bowl only 3 years after he left the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And again, you could just say Tom Brady, and be done with it.
Yeah.
But there is something there of why was everybody, and I was one of them too, but why was everybody so ready to move on from Bruce Arians, who's now a Super Bowl head coach?
Douglas, B.A. was ready to move on.
Yeah, that's true, too.
B.A. was ready to move on that one. And I've never gotten clarification on this. I've never asked.
I've always felt it was mutual.
But Douglas, there was a situation where I believe that B.A. protected some guys on his coaching staff, and it's not just Amos that we're talking about.
I think it's only Amos.
It's not just Amos, but he protected guys on his staff, and I believe there needed to be changes. And again, this is pure speculation on my part. And that's one of the reasons why B.A. was ready to retire. Well, he was ready to retire.
I think it makes sense because Steve Keim could say, since he made it to the Super Bowl without Amos Jones now, so if you would have fired Amos Jones, you would have made it to the Super Bowl here.
Just stop it. He went up to the booth. He didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's why he's not up there anymore.
Coming up next. Looking at this NFC matchup just for the NFC Championship game. Brady versus Rodgers. But it ended with Rodgers versus Crosby? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And if your name is Richard, why don't you make people call you Rich? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's all right. Just don't go further.
There's a guy based in Onions that I've known for 30 years. Over 30 years. To this day, when I see him, I call him Richard. To this day. His name's Jim. You know who I'm talking to right now, if you're listening. Isn't that right, Richard?
What's he call you?
Richard.
Okay.
Interesting.
You guys are both pretty creative. Matt LaFleur, what are you doing?
Yeah, anytime it doesn't work out, you always regret it, right? But it was just the circumstances of having three shots and coming away with no yards. And knowing that you not only need the touchdown, but you'd need the 2 point. So the way I was looking at it was we essentially had four timeouts with the 2 minute warning. And, you know, we knew we needed to get a stop. And I thought we were going to have a stop there at the end, but, you know, we got called for the PI. It didn't work out. So I think anytime something doesn't work out, do you regret it? Sure. But we're always going to be process-driven here. And the way our defense was battling, the way our defense was playing, we felt like it was the right decision to do. And it just didn't work out.
This is really scary because when you double down, we're always going to be process-driven. That's analytics. And that's the thought process of because X amount of teams over the history of the NFL when down by 8 points at this minute mark with these timeouts, we should kick. There's one problem with analytics.
No.
There's nothing analytical that says they've got Tom Brady.
No.
There's nothing analytical that says they've got Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. Analytics doesn't care. So it doesn't matter whether it's the worst Lions team of all time that's added to the stats that means you end up winning against a bad team that lets you say, well, then I should do it this way. You actually, I don't care. That means your analytics told you, I should take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands and I have a better chance of winning, of giving the ball to Tom Brady. And we all can hear that and say, boy, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Now, am I firing Matt LaFleur this morning? No. He's the youngest coach ever to go to back-to-back conference championship games in his first 2 years as a head coach.
Pretty good.
They got the coaching hire right. But you have to have the conversation that says, if you're process-driven, that means you're going to repeat this mistake again and we've got a problem. Not that you can't ever kick a field goal down by eight at the four-minute mark with three timeouts, but you can never do it when they've got Tom Brady. Ever. And that's what he did.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't know if I'm going to agree with you on everything you said. I'm not, as a matter of fact, but I was shocked. I thought where the Green Bay Packers really made a mistake on that possession, three straight passes, first and goal at the eight, three straight passes. I realize the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are real good defensively in terms of stopping the run, base and onings. I totally understand that. I get that. But to me, you were running the ball well. They averaged over 4 yards a carry. Aaron Jones, by way of example, averaged 4.5 yards per carry in this game. They were getting their running game going, even against that stout Buccaneer defense. And any time you run the ball and you threaten the box, your play action becomes that much more effective. And that's who the Green Bay Packers are. When you talk about identity, you talk about a team that can run the ball, top 10 team in terms of rushing yards per game and rushing yards per play, top 10. That's why their play action is so good. And that's something that really could have helped Aaron Rodgers in that situation. Isn't that right, Tom Brady, to Cameron Brate for a touchdown? Their play action, when they ran it, how effective it is because they ran the ball. I was surprised to see them throw the ball in three consecutive plays.
See if this, how this affects your
shot,
your decision.
As a
okay?
matter of fact,
number one, Aaron Rodgers pretty strong on his opinion without fully saying it. What did you think about kicking the field goal?
Well, I didn't have a decision on that one. Yeah, that wasn't my decision. But I understand the thinking above 2 minutes with all of our timeouts, but. Yeah, it wasn't my decision.
And you can't really jump up and down and say you have all four timeouts because of the two-minute warning, because you're relying on an idiotic decision to take a knee at the 2:02 mark on the kickoff return to have four timeouts. Okay, that's amazingly stupid.
What is going on there?
That's amazingly stupid. But listen to Rob Domofsky. He is a guy, and granted, he's just media. But he's the ESPN Nation reporter that's covered Green Bay for years.
He's just media.
And Rob goes into something that Aaron Rodgers told the media that really is an eye-opener here.
Rodgers said, quite bluntly, it was not my decision. That may say more than those words say themselves. Because, look, the play before it was a third down play, and LaFleur let him kind of make the decision on the play call. And Rodgers told us afterwards that he said, if I would have known we weren't going to have a fourth down, I might have tried something different on third down. So while he never said, look, hey, I don't like the call, those two answers kind of tell you all you want.
If you're allowing the quarterback to choose the play, and I'm actually okay with that, don't you have to tell him?
I'm okay with it if it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. If it's Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
What do you feel comfortable? And usually it's like, what do you want to do? It's like, what do you feel comfortable with here?
Yes.
You know, and you're talking about it. Don't you have to say, I'm going to give you fourth down? Or, hey, I'm not giving you fourth down here.
Yeah.
I'm taking the points. Or, hey, I need 3 yards. I need 5 yards to go for. Whatever you're thinking, don't you have to have that as part of the conversation?
Yes.
I mean, that's terrible.
Four down territory.
Coaching.
I listen. I would have
again.
Gone
I'm
for
not
it
firing him,
down.
But
I would have gone for it on fourth down. I'm saying that I would have gone for it on fourth down. But I was more upset at the play calling in terms of not running the ball or trying to run the ball because they started to get that part of their offense going. It's amazing the impact it has on a front seven, front eight when you're trying to stop a short yardage and goal line situation. It's amazing. When you run the ball, you pay that off. And maybe that play action, even on third down, run it twice. See where that gets you. Thinking we're in four down territory. We got to score. We've got to score a touchdown because they have Tom Brady. And there's still way too much time on the clock. We have to score a touchdown.
You did think about, I think Matt LaFleur choked. In a defensive way, because think about the difference at the end of the first half and the end of the second half. You have the punt team for the Buccaneers come. I think it was fourth and one. It might have been fourth and three, but you have the punt team for the
fourth and four.
Okay, you have the Buccaneers punt team.
Yes.
Coming all the way out onto the field, and then Brady makes a beeline to Bruce Arians. They call a timeout. And then they bring the offense back. They go for it. They get it. Very next play is the touchdown.
Tom Brady had the cape on the side.
Yeah, yeah.
He had the cape on.
Yeah. And now you look at the difference between how Matt LaFleur is thinking. Matt LaFleur is thinking, I need all three of my timeouts on defense. You don't need all three of your timeouts if it's tied. You don't need them if it's tied. So he's thinking the whole time, I'm not going for it on fourth down.
Yes.
That's really bad.
Yeah, no.
You've got to call a timeout there because I can understand. Listen to what Aaron Rodgers says about the decision. Couldn't you have run over and convinced him?
I don't know. That's a tough one, Rob. I look over the sideline. I see, you know, five big guys around the field. There's a lot of gymnastics that has to happen.
He means the punt team's coming out. I can't talk him out of it and run. No, you can. You call a timeout. And you have a discussion for the season, to the NFL trip to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm only saying that because you've already screwed up and decided not to go for it.
I don't know if I want my quarterback calling timeout on his own. I don't know. Okay, but maybe Aaron Rodgers. Okay. But
I'm saying
go,
the coach should have called it.
Okay, I
realize he's making a mistake.
Okay, well, he would if he realized he had made a mistake, he probably would have called a timeout. He just didn't. Look at the fulcrum point of the game. You brought it up. 13 seconds to go in the half. 4th and 4. Green Bay 45. One timeout. 14-10 game at that point in time. Punt team on the field. And B.A. ran the offense back out.
You want to talk about a coaching decision? B.A. versus their defense, single high safety, and that's it?
Yeah. Oh, but what are you
doing?
What are you doing? It wasn't even single high safety. I think it was a cover three, at least based on Kevin King and how he played it. It looked like he was playing a zone technique.
I hope
a three-deep zone technique. That's what it looked like to me. I was blown away that they actually did that. Kevin King, what are you doing? What are you doing? If Scotty Miller gets behind you?
Why not hire Greg Williams as your teacher?
I was stunned. That was the fulcrum of this game, Basinonians.
Very true.
That touchdown, the fulcrum of the game, the difference of the game. Unbelievable. Yet it happened. What a great job by Tom Brady.
What a throw.
Throwing that up there, man.
What a throw.
Fantastic.
Coming up next, AFC Championship game. Are we watching the next great dynasty? On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So you saw the season of Aaron Rodgers. And after watching the whole season of Aaron Rodgers, are you agreeing or disagreeing with Travis Kelce?
Can't say enough about the guy, man. The ultimate leader, the best football player in the National Football League, and he shows it every single time, even more when it counts.
Now, granted, if he's your teammate, you're not going to yell, he's number 12 on the list of best players in the NFL.
That's right.
But...
well, that Pat Mahomes, he's really, really good, but I wouldn't call him great yet. I wouldn't say he's in the Hall of Fame. He's really good. I think we all know he's number 11. I honestly, I get it right there.
Is he the best player in the NFL?
I mean, honestly, right now, I think there are more people that would say yes to that question than no. I know this drives people crazy. Oh, my goodness, the texts that I get, the tweets that I get when I say I'd take Deshaun Watson. If I were building an NFL team today, I'd actually take him over Pat Mahomes. It drives
I do think you're crazy on that.
That's okay. That's fine. I think he's actually a better athlete than Pat Mahomes overall, and I think he's a better leader overall based on what I've been told of Deshaun Watson. It's how much I love the kid. But Pat Mahomes, I mean, again, do I respect him and think he? Yes, he's the best quarterback in the game. He's the best quarterback in the game. I just like what I could do with Deshaun Watson a little bit more.
What do you think of the Brady Mahomes Super Bowl, Andy Reid?
Seems like we've had a couple of those, and every one of them is tremendous. And I wouldn't expect this to be any different. They got a tremendous team there. So, and those two have a lot of respect for each other. You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT. And so, you know, we look forward to the opportunity to play them. And I know Pat does with Tom, and likewise Tom, I'm sure, does, you know, with Pat. So it should be a heck of a football game.
If you don't know what Andy Reid's talking about there with that little storyline, the only AFC quarterback, think about how great Tom Brady is, the only AFC quarterback.
Okay, think about that. It's going to take a long time.
The only AFC quarterback in the history of the NFL to host three straight championship games is Pat Mahomes. They've never had the AFC championship game in the same building three straight years.
Mm-hmm.
But in year one of those three was the overtime comeback by the Patriots. And after the game, Pat Mahomes is done with his media. He's in the locker room. He doesn't feel like leaving. And Tom Brady, before getting on the bus, walked into the Chiefs locker room to talk to Pat Mahomes about how great he is and what it takes to be a great, great quarterback. And Andy Reid's talking about what that meant to Pat Mahomes and the way he responded to it. And now, since that conversation, Brady's obviously created a monster because Pat Mahomes has won one Super Bowl on a stellar fourth quarter comeback, and he's going to his second.
That's a great story. There's no doubt about that. But this is a fascinating Super Bowl when you talk about Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady because of what they represent. I'm sorry. This is the old versus the new. This is old school football versus new school football. This is old dude hanging around 43 years old versus Pat Mahomes. How old is Pat Mahomes right now? I have no idea, but he's young.
25, maybe?
Okay, young. Old versus new. Young versus old. And what I love is they represent the offenses that are going to be employed as well.
I got it right. He turns 26 in September.
There it is, 25. This is awesome. Pat Mahomes represents the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs represent this new age offense, this new era offense that is a blending of the new and the old. That's what I love about it. The blend is there. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're old. Their offense is old. There's not going to be a lot of razzle-dazzle here. There's not going to be jet sweeps for the most part. Their offense is predicated in run-down situation, first and 10, second and 1-6. Tom Brady, run the ball well, or at least be willing to run the ball, even if you're running into the pile, and then use play action to throw the ball. That is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And when they say they found themselves in late November into December, they found an identity. What they really found was the bash and bomb offense. And I'm not saying it's got to be a 50-yard throw down the field all the time. I'm talking about play action. Run the ball into the pile, threaten the defense, threaten the box, and then let Tom Brady, one of the more legendary quarterbacks in the history of the NFL in terms of play-action mechanics, let him throw the ball. And that's something that worked for them. And that's the reason why they're in Super Bowl 55. Isn't that right, Cameron Brate?
The question is, are we witnessing the next dynasty? I understand the question and trying to get out in front of it, but it's really easy to kind of forget already that the New England Patriots have won the AFC under Bill Belichick 9 times.
Yeah.
So we're talking about every other year, they're the AFC champions.
Yes.
So in order for us...
We all lived it, Douglas.
In order for us to compare... Just let this wash over you. We're talking about the Doug and Wolf show in 2039. Talking about the Chiefs going to another Super Bowl.
Be nice to make it to 2039.
Can you go to a Super Bowl basically every other year? The Patriots went to the Super Bowl almost every other year for 20 years. Are you... So when we talk about the dynasty, it's fair to look at and say, wow, the Chiefs are really good. They're going to be around for a while.
You're not saying you're going to compare dynasties to the New England Patriots, are you?
If you're going to say, are we witnessing the next dynasty, it's like, is anybody else a dynasty?
Stop it.
I mean, doesn't the rule of a dynasty change? You're not a dynasty anymore. That's the only dynasty. There's nobody else.
Stop.
Or we need to come up with a new word for dynasty. Because if you can establish yourself as a dynasty... And it only takes 5 years to do it. You can't.
Isn't Joe Montana and the 49ers a dynasty?
They were.
Aren't they a dynasty?
Not until the Patriots anymore.
And the Patriots came along and you had to ruin it for everybody.
By the way, I think you also have to ask, how good is Justin Herbert? Because the one thing about the Patriots dynasty that you can't underestimate is their domination of the division that gives them a home playoff game every single year.
Okay.
Is anybody willing to look at somebody in the AFC West and say, you're going to get in the way of a division championship every year? I'm not, but if Justin Herbert is all that, maybe the Chargers make it a little harder for
them
eventually.
Here's the one thing about this that is going to be very interesting to watch. How much the Kansas City Chiefs continue to expose Pat Mahomes to runs.
I think they do it too much already.
It's good. There's the answer, Douglas. There it is. All of a sudden, there goes the ACL. Oh, he blew out his collarbone. Oh, there goes his shoulder. This is something that the Kansas City Chiefs, honestly.
Hey, anything can happen.
He could get blindsided and separate his shoulder, basically. That could happen. And what are you going to do? He was in the pocket, and he got blindsided. But honestly, when you run him, the more you run him, the more you roll the dice. That at some point in time, it's just a game of attrition. Pat Mahomes is going to get beat up.
This is kind of crazy to think about. 1 week from today is when it really gets rolling. The Waste Management Phoenix Open returns February 1st through the 7th. So a week from today, we're giving you the chance to win the Coors Light Silver Seats to the Open. So dramatically reduced capacity, and yet you get the silver seats. You want them? Text CHILL to 620-620 for your chance to be a winner. That's CHILL to 620-620. CBS called special teams analyst Jay Feely going to join us. Going to join us in about 15 minutes.
Boy, that was a kick save and a beauty.
I was there. And we haven't talked Suns in a while.
No.
Do they have a problem? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.